Mr. Vanderschaft, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. Good morning, Justices. Good morning again. My name is Scott Vanderschaft. I'm the Washington County Attorney. I represent the appellant in this matter. At this time, I'd ask to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. We are here in regards to a brief that we had filed as well as our appeal. In the meantime, I did receive the court's order with additional questions that they would like to have answered. I have not written that brief that is due, I think, next week, but I thought I would address some of these issues with you today. The first question that this court asked us to take a look at is whether or not 25-1902, 43-273, or any other statute authorizes an appeal in this matter. Where I would start at is 43-2106-1 talks about appeals in regards to juvenile court. It indicates that final orders, any final order for that matter, or judgment that is entered by the juvenile court is an appealable action by a certain number of parties. The county attorney is listed as one of those. This is not an exception appeal, which is sometimes what we have to do in the criminal matters. It lists that as a separate entity in truancy cases where jeopardy has attached. Here, when we're looking at what a final order is, and again, that's how I think we start the process, is that statute there, and we look at what that has to do with 43-273 that talks about the fees in regards to whether there's a hearing or not and how they're determined. The interesting thing is in that statute, there's two sentences, both of which talk about the county board and their responsibilities when it comes to payment. The second part, or the last sentence of that statute, uses the word until, and so I'm not certain why it was repeated and interjected with that. Our position would be that these are final orders. This is analogous to three other cases that are also listed in 25-1902 in headnotes and annotations, which would be In Re Interest of JMN. In that case, 237 Nebraska 116, it's a 1991 case, and at that point in time, the Department of Health and Human Services was allowed to appeal a judgment or an order that required them to pay $4,203 in alcohol treatment. The court at that time, Supreme Court, indicated that that was a final order and that that was appealable. In this situation, we also have another case that applies, and there's two others, I believe, In Re Interest BMH, which is 233 Nebraska 524, 1989. That case, the department was ordered to pay for therapy in an amount that was not determined, and it was to be out of state. In In Re Interest GB, MB, and TB, 227 Nebraska 512, the department was ordered to pay any remaining costs that was not covered by insurance.
So what subsection of section 25-1902 do you assert applies and makes this a final order?
Well, in 25-1902, what I would be talking about is that this affects the substantial right of the county. Now, in order to, there must be a substantial right, and as the legislative branch, and this court has found that the purse strings of the legislature are the ultimate check in regards to the authority that the legislative has in regards to things. The county has a right, and that is covered in the second question.
The other part of the analysis, substantial right in, what are we talking, special proceeding, or are we talking summary application after judgment, or something that prevents a judgment?
Well, when such order in effect determines the action and prevents judgment, an order affecting a substantial right and special proceeding, or final or application of action after judgment.
So which one of those are you resting your feet on, so to speak?
Well, I would be indicating that it's an order that determines the action in regards to the application after judgment. So subsection 3, which would indicate we have been asked to pay amount of an attorney fee. Now,
was that a judgment?
I believe that it was in regards to the analogous parts regarding the department. Here, what we have kind of missed is it's been common practice in juvenile courts to do what's called intermittent billing. So attorneys are allowed to bill either monthly or bi-monthly. So the problem that the county runs into is I can't find a statute. We don't have any local rules in my district regarding this matter. We also, I couldn't find anything in Supreme Court rules as it deals with juvenile cases that allow this kind of thing.
What does that tell us? The absence of any statutory authority, the absence of any uniform rule that applies, or any local rule in your district?
Well, the answer to that is that you can't do it. I mean, but I understand why the practice exists, because those are cases that can go on for a year, year and a half, and it seems to be unreasonable to require that attorneys, if you can find court-appointed attorneys, that would wait a year, year and a half to be paid. But the problem is also the converse. This is death by 1,000 paper cuts. So if you continue to receive a $2,000 bill over 24 months, it doesn't seem like anything, and that's exactly what happened in this case. We didn't track these things. We don't sit and keep a tally. The court apparently didn't either. So by the time you get to the end of this case, we're at $40,000 on a 3A case.
Can you direct us to a statute or a court rule that gives the county board the right to notice and an opportunity to be heard when a fee application is filed? Is
well,
there anything?
Yeah, what I can tell you is we actually appealed on the criminal portions that were done in the same manner as this. That's
not my question. Is there a statute or a court rule that gives the county board the right to notice and a hearing when a fee application is filed?
The county board itself? No. The county attorney, yes. I mean, if you look at, again, 43-2106-1, this is a final order or a judgment. If that's analysis to what the department was allowed to do, because they are also listed within that statute as somebody who has the right to appeal. I don't represent the county board. I'm an advisor to the county board. The county board could hire another attorney if they so choose. They don't have to listen to my advice, and actually on occasion, at least once, they didn't. You know, and they went and hired a different counsel because they didn't like the opinion that I'd given them on a matter in regards to a contract. I represent the taxpayers and the citizens of Washington County. Those individuals pay taxes, certainly, and along with case law indicates that, and that was the second question here in regards to the claim case and how Heckman, you know, wants to be applied. They certainly have a right to be heard if a county court, and in this case, we didn't even have a hearing. So the statute wasn't even followed.
Is there a statute that requires a hearing in a fee application case?
43-273.
It references a hearing. Does it require a hearing?
Well, the way that our district court interpreted it and the way I would interpret it is yes. I mean, upon hearing. So I guess the way I would read that is that there would be a court hearing, some type of evidence is given. Otherwise, it's just an application that's handed to the court. They sign it and then they submit it. If there's no opportunity to have an actual hearing, and again, when we appealed the criminal stuff to our district court, in that situation, the district court agreed that this was a final order. Now, that was criminal, and he brought it back down and actually reversed, indicating that the county had a right to be heard and evidence should have been taken. Here, we don't even have a record. There wasn't any evidence. What was what fee application? Well, it was on file, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was taken as evidence. Certainly, there would need to be evidence of the reasonableness of the fee, because that's the other part of the statute.
Don't the uniform court rules address what sort of evidence must be offered in support of a fee application?
Well, uniform court rule might. We don't have any local rules that do. And in regards to the evidence, obviously affidavit, obviously some sort of itemized billing it talks about. These are things, though, that would need to be offered in evidence in an open hearing. And we didn't have that here. I mean, that's really part of the tenet here. We didn't even have it. We weren't given any notice by counsel or the court. We only found out about this because at the point in time that Washington County saw an influx of bills that seemed to be progressively excessive, my office started to talk because the county board had complained and asked me to look into what had gone on, because they look at claims. And they say, hey, why does this add up? I mean, we've got some pretty diligent people on our board that actually track these things. So that is how that started it at the end of 2018. And so we didn't even know that this was going on until the clerk's office alerted us, hey, here's some fees we'd like you to look at. So we didn't even know there were orders because we weren't noticed in. And part of what our judge said, at least in the criminal aspect, was that there needed to be notice provided at least to the county attorney.
You've referred several times to a criminal case. What criminal case are you referring to?
I'm sorry. We had multiple criminal cases in county court that we appealed along with what we are here for today.
Do you want to direct us to something?
Well, I certainly can. This was State versus Rasmussen, CR 1946, District Court of Washington County. And Judge Sampson there is where he found that the fee, there was no hearing because we didn't have anything. Two, he found that this was a final order and that there needed to be a hearing upon which the county attorney's office should have been noticed.
In district court, they have some local rules that pertain to fee applications that don't exist in county court.
Correct.
In the 6th Judicial District,
correct.
Isn't that right?
We do not have any, we don't have any rules. We have one, I'm sorry. It mirrors the appointment of counsel, but does not talk about payment. That is the only local rule that we have.
For county court.
For county, I apologize. Yeah, in district, we have several different ones, but in county, we do not. It appears that I'm out of time, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Roberts, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Christine Roberts, and I am the appellee. Today, I ask this court to affirm the judgment of the lower court and direct the county board to remit payment to me for services rendered. A primary goal of the judiciary is access to justice for all Nebraska citizens, regardless of their income level or disability, amongst other factors. One of the issues for this appeal today was whether my client was indigent or not. This court released an opinion last week, State versus Frederickson, that it found that if a court appoints an attorney in county court, district court, to be court-appointed counsel, that is not a final appealable order. And while my client has been on Social Security disability for the length of this four-year case, the indigency issue is moot. It's not a final appealable order anymore. Whether my fees were reasonable. The county board of the county wherein the proceedings were had shall allow the account biller claim presented by any attorney or guardian litem for services performed under 43272 in the amount determined by the court.
With respect to that provision, can you help us understand procedurally what happens after a court enters an order fixing reasonable fees in a case where counsel's been appointed in a juvenile case? What happens then? What do you do?
Do you mean in Washington County or
yes.
General? Okay. What do you mean? What do I do? What happens?
Do you
next?
Take the order and present it to the county board for payment?
My understanding in Washington County is that after the order is signed, the county court clerk for Judge Samuelson at this particular time takes that order down to the county board clerk's office and gives it to them, and they approve that at their, I think they meet every 2 weeks, and then they approve those claims at their normal meeting.
So what has happened to the orders fixing fees in your case?
So when I called the county court clerk's office, they did advise me that they took those orders down to the county board clerk's office, and that their attorney, the county attorney, advised them not to pay those bills and that they would be appealing those.
Has there been any additional administrative activity on those fee orders?
Within the county board?
Not in your case?
Not to my knowledge. This has all just been sitting there. Nothing has happened. I just keep coming here to see you and
all right.
And keep defending myself to be paid. And it just sits there. The first bill that from the January oral arguments billed all the way back to August 2018, and so it's just been it's just been sitting. I haven't been paid for Washington County since before that time.
Do you believe a hearing is required on the reasonableness of your fees?
Well, that would go to the questions that were asked for the brief due next week. I believe the county attorney is correct that there isn't any statute in place for appealing, but it's that case law in reclaim of Raymond Fazer that gives this court authority to jurisdiction.
I'm sorry, my question might not have been clear. Do you believe there's a requirement for a hearing on a reasonableness of your fees at the trial
when
court
level?
When
it starts? Oh, okay. What I believe?
What's your position?
My position is that I can submit an application for approval to the county attorney's office, and they can object to it, and we can have a hearing on whether they think it's reasonable or not. After a judge hears that and finds one way or the other, that's what it should be.
Is there any statute or court rule that requires you to submit your fee application first to the county attorney for approval?
I couldn't find any statute or local rule. However, that's just how it's always been done.
In your county?
In Dodge County, where I primarily practice, we submit it to the Dodge County Attorney's Office. We put a line on the bottom for applications if they sign off on it, and then it just goes over to the court, and there's never a hearing in Dodge County. They just sign, and we move forward. But I imagine if the county attorney would object to what we turn into their office, then they could file an objection, and we could have a hearing on reasonableness if they so choose.
And that's the county attorney in that position is in the shoes of either representing the state, the county, or the citizen taxpayers?
I'm not sure what angle they would take on who they're representing. I suppose the state in general, but I'm not sure. I mean, the county attorney has very specific duties and rules laid out already, and I didn't see this particular process as one of them.
But in this case, you notified the county attorney's office, and there was no objection from the county attorney's office.
Correct. At this particular moment in time, our lower court judge was having some medical issues, and so I was ready to submit a bill, and what I had done was I had emailed my application to the county court clerk's office to ask them what they would like the process to be while the regular sitting judge was out. And they indicated to me that he would like to have a hearing on those fees unless some covering judge happens to sign off on them before. Well, I didn't want to wait for his medical process to end before I would possibly get payment. So I did not electronically file it, but what I had done was I had emailed this application and another application for another case in Washington County directly to the county attorney's office. And you can see in the record what I did was I added a line. I hand wrote in there a line for them to sign off on the line if they approve my bill so that I could be paid without having to wait for a judge to come back from his medical issues. And so while I did not electronically file it, which in hindsight, obviously, I always do for now on, I did email it to them so they did have notice. I believe it was...
The email's not in our record, is it?
No, it's not.
But there's no indication of notice.
Very little record. Yes.
I'm going to ask you one of the same questions that I asked opposing counsel, and that is, can you direct us to any statute or court rule, whether it's a uniform court rule or a local court rule, that requires notice to the county when a fee application is filed by court-appointed counsel?
No, I cannot point you to anything like that. I did not find that there is anything that exists. If the county attorney wanted a contract for total case limits or a set fee, such should have been contracted in advance so defense attorneys could choose to remove themselves from the court-appointed list before they got court-appointed. They did resolve that issue in Washington County by they do now have a public defender's office. But I'm stuck here in the middle for now, just trying to get paid.
What other mechanisms are there for certainty with respect to the permissible range of fees, do you see? Like you're saying, maybe there's a contract or an hourly rate not to exceed or something like that that could be submitted to the court?
Washington County pays $75 an hour.
Okay.
For court-appointed counsel. This particular case began in March of 2016. I had a client with high mental health needs and contacted me constantly, and I did all of the work that I billed for.
So you were working at the $75 posted rate, so to speak?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that should be all that really is needed. If an attorney cannot be paid for zealous advocacy, the chilling effect on the right to effective assistance of counsel is profound. My billing in this particular instance covers April 2019 through July 2019, which included advising my client while the appeal, her termination of parental rights appeal, was pending, a contested hearing regarding my fees from the termination of parental rights trial and subsequent billing, and contested hearings regarding jurisdiction of the juvenile court while appeal was pending, and appellate work for the termination of parental rights and defending my fees.
You are not making the argument, I trust, that the county court was required to approve just whatever you asked for.
No, I am not making that argument. The judge does have a duty to go through my itemized statement and make sure it was reasonable before he signs off on it, and he signed off on it, so I believe that he did that. In Washington County, they did put in a judge sent out a memo to the attorneys. What had happened was attorneys would submit bills to the county attorney's office, and they would sit there for months. And so he put out a memo saying if the county attorney's office does not object to the fees within 2 weeks, 14 days, he would just sign off on them. He would take that they're consenting to those fees, and he would sign off on them. And I believe that's what
authority did the judge have to do that?
I don't know of what authority he had to do that, except just to make a local rule to move things along.
Could you have just set the mayor's for hearings?
That's what we were doing to help move it along again, was we would set the matter for notice for hearings so that the county attorney's office would move forward with those.
Under the process that you've just described, did anyone review the reasonableness of the application?
For my particular application, there was not a hearing on my application. I emailed it to them July 19th, 2019. A judge signed the order in August, at the end of August 2019.
But the process you've described suggests that the county court judge, if there was no objection,
correct,
didn't look at it.
I wasn't in his chambers. I don't know if he looked at the bill or not before he signed off on it.
So this appeal pertains exclusively to the July 2019 fee application?
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And you've already mentioned the fact that that one wasn't defiled the way the other ones had
Correct.
Been. Was the July 2019 fee application supported by an affidavit?
No.
And is that significant to our analysis as it pertains to the court rule requiring that sort of thing?
There is a court rule that those fee applications be supported by an affidavit, so I do believe that would be significant to your analysis. When I had called the clerk's office, I was anticipating having a hearing in the future when judge was back, but he got back and he signed it. And I can't turn back and have a hearing. I believe he was correct in signing it, and I would I'd simply want to be paid for work that was done. But if it were remanded for a hearing, I would obviously support the exact same fee bill with an affidavit and an expert witness if they require.
You made a factual statement earlier that your fees have not been paid. As a matter, does that include the original $23,000 from the?
I was court appointed in March of 2016. And my understanding with how the intermittent payment works in a juvenile case is I submit my bills every 6 months at review hearings. And so from March 2016 up until August 2018, I was paid every 6 months.
So from the termination hearing on is when?
Correct, when I had a very large bill for representing my client in the termination hearing. Yes. With that, I submit.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day, then, is State versus James S. Price.